Let's look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84. This psalm has a wonderful message reminding us that we need to renew our love for the house of God. We need to renew our love for the house of the Lord. This psalm, most believe this is a psalm of David, sent to, is it maybe in the top of the psalm there, it may give some indication, the chief musicians upon gitaph, which is an instrument, more likely a stringed instrument of some sort. A psalm for the sons of Korah. We'll look at that here in just a minute. But most believe that this psalm was a psalm written by David whenever he was on the run from Absalom and not able to go back to Jerusalem, not able to go back to the temple. And it really depicts the circumstance that might happen, and maybe it's happened to you, that you've had maybe an illness or some circumstance that's kept you from church, kept you from the house of God. And so here's David in this circumstance where he can't be there where he wants to be. And David is a worshiper. He wants to be in the tabernacle of God. He wants to be with the people of God. He wants to have that experience. And so, you know, you don't really miss it as much until you get in a situation where you can't be there. And you want to be there with such a great desire. And that gives a little background to this psalm. Let's read here, Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Did you get that phrase? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's a wonderful promise. Get a hold of that one. No good thing will he withhold from him that walks uprightly. Praise God. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I was listening to one of the recorded messages of Brother Huff just not too long ago, and he was talking about when he was first in the ministry, really just starting off in his Christian experience. And that he said in the space of 2 years, there was only seven days that he wasn't in a church service. In 2 years, only 7 days that he didn't go to church. Now, that is a desire to be in the house of God. Amen. And I really believe that's pretty much characteristic of people who first come to the Lord, is they want to be in the house of God. They want to be with the people of God. They want to be in that place. Now, I understand that it's not all about the building. And I know that you can meet the Lord and sense his presence anywhere. Wherever you are, on the job, in the car, at home. And I know that you can make a sanctuary You can actually make a tabernacle wherever you might be and sense the presence of God. And so I understand that it's not all about the building, but there was just something in the heart of David. He longed to be back there in Jerusalem where he could be in the temple, where he could be in the tabernacles of God. He could be in that place. And you know, you're not so far off from what's right by taking that kind of a position. Even Jesus himself, he had that longing and that love for the house of God. And I made reference to this recently whenever in the Gospels it talks about the fact that Jesus went into the temple. They were there making merchandise of the house of God. And in all the gospel accounts, he ran out those who were doing business in the house of God. But it's in John's gospel that it goes a little further after the cleansing in John chapter 2 and verse 16. Verse 17, it says, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And it's referring to a psalm, Psalm 69 in verse number 9. Talking about, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." It's talking about just being literally consumed with the desire, that it's the strongest desire that you have. Just totally absorbed with the whole longing and desire to be in the house of the Lord. And by the way, I really do believe that comes when you become a Christian. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, that is something that takes place in your life. You have this desire put in your heart to worship God, to be in the presence of God, to be with the people of God, to hear the Word of God, and all those things that are just connected with the tabernacle of God. And that's what David was longing for. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord." Now, we use the word amiable, if you use the word. The word has kind of shifted its meaning a little bit more in the modern usage of that English word to mean someone that is amiable is someone that's kind and gentle and kind of affectionate in their dealings with you. But in this sense, of the word here in the psalm, it doesn't mean just that type of an attitude, but it's talking about this in love, that there is an endearment in your life, in your heart, for the things of God and the house of God, for that place of public worship. It's in your heart. Amen. Someone has said, you know, that in times past that churches would ring the bells as an indication that it's time to go to church. But someone said, well, if you really have a walk with the Lord and a love for the things of God, you don't have to have that outward bell to sound, because there's already going to be this inward desire that's there. There's an inward indicator of this holy desire, this holy appetite for spiritual things, that's going to say it's time to go to church. It's time to be in the presence of God. And that's what the psalmist was saying. I really believe that there needs to be a renewing and a revival of desire for the presence of God and for the house of God. To want to be in the house of God. To want to be there. Amen. If that revival would take place, then all these seats would fill up. Every seat in the building would be full if people would just allow God to renew their desire for public worship, the house of God, and all that represents. "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." I'm just consumed with the desire to be in church. Now, some of you may be here tonight because it's just the thing to do on Wednesday night, or you may be here because it's your duty to be here, but hopefully there's a desire in your heart. I want to go to church. I want to be there. I want to be with the people of God, in the presence of God, and exposed to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen. What a blessing that it is. But obviously the psalmist, he's longing for it. Now, I don't know how long he's been away from it, but he's talking about it. My heart, how amiable are your tabernacles. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He's describing that he wants to be in the house of God so bad that it's like, he's fainting for it. He's exhausted, not just physically exhausted, spiritually drained and exhausted, desiring to be in the house of the Lord. For the courts of my God, for my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Amen. I want to be there because I know that I'm not serving a dead God. I know that when I go there, I'm going to encounter the true and the living God. Amen. And I'm gonna receive strength and life and just a spiritual touch in my life whenever I go and I'm there in the house of the Lord. And then he begins to describe, and I can just envision David. He's longing for it. He's thinking about his experiences in the house of God. And then he remembers in verse number 3, he begins to envy even the birds who nest in the house of the Lord and near the altar of the Lord. The sparrow hath found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He's envying the birds that can be there in the house of God. And verse 4, he said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Of course, in those times, there were those, not only the priests and the Levites, but others who served in the temple service and literally lived there. You remember there that Annas was there, that Simon was there living near the house of the Lord or in the house of the Lord. Remember when Samuel was brought to the house of the Lord and given to Eli as a young child? He was there to serve in the house of the Lord. So those that literally lived in the house of God. And so he's saying, I envy the birds that are there. I envy those who get to sweep the floors. And those who get to prepare for the worship and take care of the sacrifices. I envy that they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee. He's saying worship is going to be continuous for them. For the rest of us, it has a starting point and an ending point when it's over. But those that live there, he just envisions them. They're always in the house of God. They dwell there. They live there and they've got the benefit of always being in the presence of God. Now we know that the Lord goes with us everywhere, but you can get the picture of the psalmist and how he's longing to be in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, that they draw their strength, that their heart is fixed upon that place, and that is what strengthens them. And that was what he was needing. He was needing a taste of the presence of God. He was needing the fellowship and all that surrounded the worship. He was longing for that. And talking about, and whose heart are the ways of them. He's talking about all the pathways that lead. Now he knew all about that wilderness. He knew all the roads and all the pathways that led back to the house of God and back to Jerusalem. And that's what he's thinking about. All the ways that would lead me back to the house of the Lord. He was envisioning those paths and those ways that he could get back to the presence of the Lord. Verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. He said, those who fix their attention on the house of the Lord. The valley of Baca was the valley of weeping. But those who fix their heart on the presence of God in the house of the Lord, they turn a place of sorrow into a place of joy. Amen. It's everything is turned around. Who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion. appeareth before God. This serving the Lord is an adventure. And so we go in a, it's a continual progression. We're always with a desire to be with the Lord and be in the presence of the Lord. We move. Every step is a step from strength to strength. Every step is another degree of God's grace and His help and His presence as we're making our way to the things of God, to the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, verse 10, he says, and this is really the key verse of this psalm, because David is addressing those sons of Korah. When you research the sons of Korah, they were, as defined, the keepers of the threshold of the house of God. The keepers of the threshold. They stood at the gate. They were literally the doorkeepers. They were the ones that gave access or not. They stood there to make sure the door was open when it needed to be and that there was always going to be a welcomed entrance into the presence of God. So he sends this message to the sons of Korah. And this is the key verse. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. He was not only envying the birds and hindering those who lived in the house of God and served in the house of God. He was envying the doorkeepers who stood outside the door and who opened the door for people when they would come into the house of the Lord. He said, I'd rather be that lowliest position at the tabernacle and temple. I'd rather be in that lowliest role than to dwell in the most elite place and to have the greatest dwelling, to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Let me tell you, David loved the house of God. And there needs to be that kind of revival, renewal of a desire for the things of God, the house of God, the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, I really believe it would make such a difference in all of us if when we came to the house of the Lord that it was obvious that we'd planned on being here all day long. And we'd purposed in our heart on Saturday evening to get ourselves ready for the house of the Lord. It wasn't just a religious duty that we had to fulfill our certain service times, but we came anxious, we came believing, we came believing God and anticipating God was going to work and move and minister. Amen. I really believe that everybody who ministers in the house of the Lord needs to prepare themselves. Certainly preachers who step in the pulpit, they need to prepare themselves. They need to pray. They need to spend time in the word of the Lord. But I also think the hearers need to prepare themselves too. Amen. Get yourself ready. Ask the Lord, Lord, open my ears and shut out all the hindrances. Shut out everything else that's distracting me and keeping me from receiving from you, Lord, in the house of God. Everything, Lord, that is stopping the move and the flow of the Spirit of God in this place. Lord, let my mind be single and focused, my attention upon you and upon those things that you're going to speak to my heart. Every one of us, if we came prepared, if we came expecting and believing, and it was like a priority of our life. We didn't have to have a church bell because there was already, a Holy Ghost bell inside of us that was always reminding us, oh, this is where we need to be. This is where I long to be. I need to be in the presence of, and I'm not talking about only church as your only relationship with the Lord. Obviously, we need to have a daily fellowship with the Lord and walk with the Lord on a daily basis. But we need to be here in the presence of the Lord. In these dark and evil times, we need one another. We need the Word of God, and we need the move of the Spirit of God. Amen. So we gather together. David said, I would rather be one of the sons of Korah, having the lowliest job in the temple, than to be wealthy and have and dwell in the tents of the wicked and have all the finery and all the things that I could have in this world. I'd rather have that lowly position because I'm going to be right there within hearing of everything going on in the house of God. Amen. Now, it's not out of the text when we look at that verse that I repeated three times when we read it, because there is a connection between our longing for the things of God, the presence of God, the house of God, and us realizing the promise of God. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. We need the sun. The sun provides what we have need of. The warmth and so many other things that the sun provides for us. We have the sun above us. We have the shield around us. Amen. We need the sun. We need him as our shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Amen. He provides all that we need. There's a balance that's provided by him in the presence of the Lord. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I can't help but believe that the psalmist is describing people who are on that pathway, walking in toward the house of God, walking uprightly, that they're walking toward the presence of God and the house of God. What he was longing for was just another opportunity to go back to that temple. That's what he longed for. When you look at the life of David, there's nothing that really identifies David any clearer in his heart and his life mission than worship and the restoration of worship in Jerusalem. That's what he longed for. That's what he lived for, was the establishing of worship and the building of the temple. And even though that he was not allowed to build the temple because he had been a man of war, God didn't allow him, but he allowed his son to build the temple. But David did everything he could possibly do to get that temple built. Everything that he was allowed to do, he did it. He accumulated materials. He made all the necessary preparation so when his successor stepped in, he would be able to build that grand and glorious house of God. That was the whole life mission of David, and that is the reason why in this time that he's exiled and running from Absalom and all of Absalom's armies, that there's one thing that he's longing for. It's interesting to me that he's not saying anything about, oh, I wish I could get back to my house where I have all the comforts and I could have all the servants waiting on me and I could be reunited with my wives and my family and all. He wasn't talking about all those things. He was longing for the house of God. Amen. Longing for the house of the Lord. How there needs to be a renewing of our love for the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I don't feel a drudgery about it. I'm thankful that all the days of my, since I was a young child, that I was taken to church. And, but I don't remember as a child bucking up against my mom and saying, I don't want to go to church. Why do I have to go to church? I never remember that. It was always something I looked forward to. It was always something that I longed for. And I remember, a lady that was a neighbor to us. We lived just a block away, a block and a half away from the church. And so, myself and some of my friends, we would sometimes go to the church and, you know, play music and sing or whatever we, you know, was going on just during the afternoons. And we'd go to the church, and there was another young lady that was a part of the youth group, and she would pass the house walking to the church every day. And she was a very devout young lady of prayer, and she would walk to the church every day. And she was about maybe 17, 18, 19 years old, and she was known. And the community knew what she was doing. She was walking to church, and she would go and pray. And I can remember one of my neighbors saying, that young lady, she's kind of a fanatic. She always goes to the church every day. Amen. We need a few more of those fanatics. Amen. With a greater love for the house of God. Amen. A longing for the presence of God and the benefits of his promise. When you walk uprightly, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a promise for churchgoers. Amen. What a promise for people who are faithful to the house of God. No, that's a wide promise, isn't it? No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Promise of God for those who are faithful to the house of God. Amen. God, renew our love for the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are blessed on this Wednesday evening to gather together in this place. Thank you, Lord, for each person that's here. Oh, Lord, how blessed we are to come together in your presence. How blessed we are, Lord, to know you and to walk with you, Lord, to sense your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for that promise. I thank you, Lord, for the promise. And we are laying hold of that promise that you're not going to withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're trusting you, Lord, to do great things, mighty things, wonderful things, Lord. An answer to prayer. Moving, Lord, by your Spirit in the church, in the body of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The church is a lot of things to a lot of people. To a young couple that's been visiting this church the last few services, it's here Sunday morning and night and the week before, my conversations with them, and even in the notation that they wrote on their little information card. We need wisdom from God. We need direction from God. We need to draw closer to God, to know Him in a greater way. Amen. So why? That's why that they just randomly walk in the door and come to church is because they want to know God and they want to walk in wisdom and know the ways of the Lord. And I pray that right here at this location that people will find that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Before we leave tonight, could we just pray for some of these? I've had this on my mind for a while. I've mentioned it a couple of times, I think, in services, maybe on the radio broadcast. And that's that we have a community with a lot of backsliders in this community. They've walked with the Lord. They've known the Lord. But now they're just not serving God. They're not going to the house of God. They're not faithful to the Lord. Now, I'm sure many of them, if you ask them, are you a Christian? They would say, yes, I am. Somehow along the way, though, they just lost their desire for the house of God. And I just pray. And when the Lord brings people like that to your mind, let's pray for them that God would just stir up their desire to be back in His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. And let's pray that no one will be disappointed when they come into the house of the Lord, but they will sense the Spirit of God, presence of God, God working and moving among us. Amen. They won't walk out disappointed. No life there. No presence of God there. Nothing really happening there. Oh, God forbid that that would ever, ever be said. But that we would have God's power and presence real in this place. Amen. Let's pray together. Pray for some of these who have been visiting. Let's pray for others that may be on your mind and on your heart. Backsliders, those that need to get back to God and back in the house of God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in your house. Lord, how grateful we are for your presence. How grateful we are, Lord, that we can gather together in this place. And Lord, I just pray, God, for various ones, these, Lord, who have recently walked in visiting church services. Lord, satisfy the desires of their heart. Oh, touch them, Lord. Fill them with your Spirit, we pray. Work in their lives, oh God. Direct their steps. Lead them in a way, Lord, of righteousness. Bring them in, Lord, the backsliders, those that are wayward and indifferent toward the things of God. Stir up a hunger in their heart, a desire in their heart, once again to be in your house. And Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, renew our love. Renew our love for the house of God. renew our desire for the house of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we do thank you, Lord.